Looks like the worship team didn't want to finish today. And we'll continue with a time of testimonies, and maybe I'll start. And it's the end of the school year at university anyway. We finished classes this past week, and exactly 1 year ago, I had my probably two worst classes in the 20 years I've been teaching at university. Started off well, and then the relationships kind of crumbled and wasn't going well at all. And I thought, you know, 20 years experience, and I still don't know how to do it. And this year, the same two classes, well, new students, but this year has been the best in 20 years. And I just thank God for that. And with one class, we read Chicken Soup for the Soul. I don't know if you know it. It's like life-affirming, heartwarming stories. And for the final week, I asked the students to write their own chicken soup story, their own story that there was, and then in groups of four, they would sit together and read their stories to each other. And there was one group, and they were all crying. And I thought, oh, what's that about? And they gave me the stories at the end, and I was reading them on the Astram line. And I came across this student's story. She said, "Yeah, when I was little, my grandfather was a farmer. He used to make fruit and vegetables, but I never really wanted to eat them. And then when I was about 10 or 11, he had an accident. He fell off his tractor. He was in a coma for 3 days. And then he died. She said, "Oh, I wish I could eat those vegetables and fruit now." And that's why they were all crying. But my students at the end of each class, they write a kind of comment about the class, what they learned, what they enjoyed, a comment or question to me. This particular student said, "Don't read my story on the Astram line." And she was right, but it was too late. I read that after. But one student said that a touching incident for her was when she had said that, you know, high school she had a teacher who was very strict and kind of unforgiving. She said, but he, at the final class, he gave a very heartwarming, encouraging speech. And I thought, oh, I'd like to do that. And I thought, maybe I couldn't. But I thought, oh, I'll write a letter instead. Then they can read it in their own time. So I did that. And it gave me a chance to say, look for something outside the university, like here. See, if, you know, one student suggested finding an English-speaking community outside the university is a good way to think of your progress in English. And another student, in a kind of maybe a comment, she said, the chicken soup stories were about parenting. And she said, actually, my father gets very violent. And my mother says she'll always protect me. And I thought, oh, I'm really glad that we've made an environment where she could tell that to me. And I went to the kind of student affairs center. I said, well, I got this comment. What should I do? And they said, well, she should go to the police. I thought, really? And I thought, maybe they don't know how to give advice. So she said, well, there are some places in town you can go to. Anyway, so at least I said, come and speak to me if you need to, or go and see them and ask for some advice. But if we can pray for her, and if we can just pray, the two of these students might, there are about 28 of them, so if next week you have 28 students you've never seen before, then be very happy. But no, shall we? Oh, we'll pray for that later. So what other testimonies do people have? Anyway, it's been a good week, so thank you. I don't know if you saw Naomi Osaka's kind of speech. For the first thing is, I'm not good at this public speaking thing. And she wasn't. But she's good at tennis. Anyway.
Uh, yesterday I went to Fukuyama to do a wedding, and I came back home, and I came in the living room. I was going to talk to my wife. She was on the sofa, and the first thing she said was, "Shut up! Naomi Osaka's playing!" So I said, "Okay, all right." So I went upstairs. She's a great tennis fan. I should be a tennis fan. I'd have a happier marriage if I were a tennis fan, but I don't follow tennis very much, so my marriage is not that good. But on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, my wife and I will meet the counselor that we've been meeting, Sugiyama-sensei. We've been meeting him for, I think, over 2 years now, every month, about our son. And so we're going to update him on what's happened, given the recent update. And I've mentioned this to Art, and Art said that he can't come this month, but he's thinking he would like to come maybe from next month. So I just ask your prayers as we talk with Sugiyama-sensei, that we can have kind of a team effort in how to continue to help our son, and please continue to pray for our son for his full recovery. And so thank you for your prayers.
Hello, I'm Art. We have a new addition to our family, part of Tim's old family. I guess he's still part of your family, but he's technically our family now. He's been, he's been doing all right. He thinks a lot. He's always kind of mumbling to himself and overthinking things. And he's got a lot of half-baked ideas. I don't know if any of you have had the experience of shutting yourself away and doing nothing for 2 or 3 years, but when you get out of that, you feel like, what have I done? What have I done? I've just wasted 3 years of my life. Oh my gosh, I'm so far behind. What am I going to do? And so, Micah's first thought is, well, I need to get a job. And so he's looking for jobs in Osaka. And, I'm walking with him. I said, every morning I'd like you to go for a walk with me. And we walk about 100 meters. And how far are we going to walk? I said, how about to that fence down there? And he looks at me kind of like, And I said, if you can't walk, you can't have a job, right? So we walked to the fence and back. And he just said, I'm so far behind, I need to get a job. Well, why do you need to get a job? What do you want to do with your life? I want to be in the movie industry. Great. Where's the movie industry? Tokyo. Where are you looking for jobs? Osaka and Kyoto. So that doesn't make any sense. So he doesn't have a lot of good ideas right now. And I'm going to ask him to make a decision this week. If he wants to stay with us, I'm going to have him ask to stay with us. He'll need to say, I would like to stay with you guys. May I stay with you? And I'll say, sure, you can. Here's some things that we need to do if you stay here. We've been having a good time. There's a very benevolent business owner in Owasa who just has a really neat washoku restaurant, and just put a movie theater in it, a little movie you can eat and watch anime, and no one goes there. And so our family, for two of the last nights of the week, have gone there and watched two-hour-long animes, and Mike has really enjoyed it. He's smiling more. He likes to interact with the kids and the baby. For right now, I'm just letting him relax. He'll get up and I'll say, good morning, it's already 10:30, and he'll get up and, pray that he'll make a good decision. He doesn't have a lot of options. I think a lot of this is building trust right now for him to trust us, because he likes me and he respects me, but I don't think he trusts 100% yet. And, that's earned, and so I get that. But I think he's starting to trust, and he's starting to allow himself to have some joy, which is good. And so, I just go do things. My father was my father's whole life was serving other people. I have no, if you ask me what my father would do when he retired, I would say probably continue just to help other people. Like, what do you like to do, And so he had a schizophrenic friend that he would just take him around and do shopping or just do the normal things, and that would be great. And so that's kind of what I do with Micah. Hey, I'm going to go pick Megumi up. Come with me. Okay. I'm going to go sledding. Do you want to go? No. Well, you're going to come with me anyway. You can watch me go sledding. Okay. You know. So it's, you know, it's not, hasn't been burdensome at all. We're excited for the possibility, or we're excited that he's going to recover, and we're just praying that God will do a wonderful thing with Micah. So keep him in prayer. We're reading a leadership book, and one of the things is you can't give away what you don't have. And so sometimes I don't have a lot of peace. Darcy, you know, you got a four-year-old who is very mouthy. You've got a baby, and you have a puppy. And so in the morning, sometimes we don't have a lot of peace. And sometimes we get a little short-tempered. And that's not what Micah needs, okay? So please pray that we would be able to provide a very calm environment for him. The children, the dog, we can't control, but we can control ourselves. So we need a lot of prayer that we can set a good example and give him what he needs. Thank you.
Hi. Hello, everyone. My name is Grace. Not a very new testimony. I should have talked about it last week, but something I want to thank God for. You know, the last Sunday I was here in December was on 2nd of December, and the following Sunday, which was 9th, was the Sunday I was supposed to travel. So I had a problem. Because the previous time I went to Kenya for my mother's funeral, I shared with you that I had a problem with my boss. Because I'm not a teacher, so we don't have vacation, unlike some of you who are teachers. So if I have to be away from my work, it means my work is just pending and waiting, and nobody else does that. So it was quite a fight I had with him over my going. And he told me it's just the culture in Japan. People don't take vacation and all. Company employees or university employees, because I don't teach students, so they don't go on vacation. My work is just nonstop. So what happened now, I was very tense last year before going to Kenya. You can imagine by that Sunday of 2nd December, I had not told my boss that I'm going to Kenya, and I had already bought my tickets. Yeah, because I don't know what to do. My paper was pending, yeah? And I don't want to try to tell him I'm already going for vacation and we are both of us waiting for the reply for my paper. So what I normally do, I just buy my tickets in faith and wait until I have courage to approach him to ask for vacation. And who knows if he refuses, because I had already canceled my flights and I had made a mistake. So I had already paid $400 to change the dates and I've not talked to him. So I had bought my flights for 9th of December to come back on 15th of January, and I've not talked to him. I'm just doing that in faith. So you can imagine, I didn't talk about it that Sunday because I hadn't talked to him. I'm just nervous. We are waiting for my paper. The response is not coming. At least I knew if the response come, it will be some excitement to make him allow me to go. But the response is not coming, and the time to travel is almost coming because my brother's wedding was on 15th. So I'm saying, God, let the response from the journal come quickly so that through that excitement, he can let me go. But the response is not coming, and it's 2nd. The next day is Monday 3rd, you know, and I'm leaving on 9th. So I decide, okay, I'll just go and see him. He doesn't like emails for important stuff, so you have to see him in person. So I go to the secretary. I'm so nervous, and, you know, I just tell her I want to see the boss. Then she checks the timetable. She tells me, I'm sorry, there's no time for you to see him. Not today, not tomorrow, not Wednesday. And then I'm thinking, okay, so when can I ask him? And I'm leaving on Sunday. So I just decided. She said, you can't see him. I have to wait for 2 or 3 days. I don't even remember what she said. So I go and sit down and say, I'm going to write him an email about this. This is, you know, going for vacation is something very important. You can't just tell your boss on email. I've never done that. Sometimes he gets angry over emails of important stuff from me. So you try as much as possible to meet him. So I go home. I'm so nervous. 11 in the night, I'm still battling whether to click send the email or not. So finally I decided, okay, I'll send the email because there's no way I can wait 3 days to leaving to tell him. So I just sent my email. It was on 3rd of December, and I'm leaving on 9th. So I just told him we submitted our paper, as you know, because he forgets. So I have to remind him. You know, he's managing so many students and staff, so you have to tell him almost all your story every time you communicate with him. So I tell him, I want you to be aware that we've submitted our paper, and it has been with the editor for 10 days. It moved back from the reviewers since 1st of December, and I'm waiting. And then I tell him, I have a request. My brother has a wedding on 15th. I would like to take a vacation and travel to Kenya. I'm just reading for you my email. I would like to take a vacation and go to Kenya and stay there until after the new year. I don't tell him how long I'm going to stay because I'm afraid, of course. Yeah, because those who work in the Japanese environment, you know, they don't take leaves, yeah, except teachers. So it's something very difficult and very nervous. If you have, then 1 week or 2 weeks, yeah, but not 1 month or 2 months the way I do. So I send him that email. That's on 3rd, almost midnight, when I finally decide to, yeah, click. And God is really good. Sometimes you're just scared and afraid of something that he's already worked out for you, you know. And on Tuesday now, he replied my email. And I don't know, God is just so good. And I just pray that he will be so good to you also when you're nervous, when you're anxious and worried about things that you have no control over. Just leave it in the hands of God. He just sent me back a very short, you know, no fight, no anger, nothing, you know. Dear Grace, congratulations for your brother and your family. You take a vacation and celebrate. Please let me know when you leave and come back, you know. And that's all he's saying to me. And I've made so many stories trying to convince him how I should go. And he just tells me that, just simply that. And I just knelt down and say, thank you, God. You know, he's giving me like a blank check. Just tell me when you're leaving and when you... It's not something usual in Japan, you know. A boss telling you, just tell him when you leave, when you come back. He's not asking how long you want to go, or please remember last time you overstayed, or something like this. You know, nothing of that sort. And I didn't mention this last week. I just want to thank God for that, you know, because I was so worried, I was so anxious. You know, my mom is not there, and I'm the elder sister. My brother is so waiting for me, and then I'm thinking, okay, I thought my boss would even talk about my paper. He didn't even talk about it, you know, as if, you know, it's just God who worked in him, and it's just amazing. We work with people who don't believe in God, but, you know, God works through them also because he knows them. So don't mind that your boss is not a Christian or something. The things God can do through unchristians, they're just amazing, and he just wants to comfort us. So I pray for us all that God will comfort us even through the people that we are with, you know. Even they are non-believers, but God will show his goodness through them. Thank you so much.